All right. Good afternoon. All right, thanks for having me back again. And so today, what we're going to do is continue on looking at this fancy word called the hypostatic union of Jesus. Okay, and so if you weren't here last week, the simplest way that I can break it down, what this really means is that it's Jesus being fully man as well as fully God. And so it is that Jesus is fully divine and fully human. And so last week, if you were here, we looked at Jesus being fully God, right? It's in his divinity that he is God. And so if you weren't here, the quickest way I can recap everything that was said last week is the very fact that Jesus needs to be divine. He needs to be God. Because if he's not God, then, for one, we can't really worship him, right? Because in our Christian faith, we believe in the Trinity, that God is in three persons, but yet one. And so, if Jesus is only a human being, then it already breaks part of our belief, and which is a very core belief, is that God is triune. And so Jesus needs to be divine. And also, not only that, in his divinity, you can see the very fact that, well, we have new life then. We have new life because he conquered sin and death. He rose from the grave. If he was just a human being, we all know you stay dead. There's no way of resurrecting. And so that's why it's so important to know that God is divine, or Jesus is divine. And the last thing about it, what it does in knowing that Jesus is divine, well, it leads us towards seeing that it's really just all God. It's all God. It's all God who saves us. It is our salvation, life is saved by God and God only. It is through grace. It is by grace through faith, right? And so if you grew up in the church and if you've heard before, Jesus died and rose again. What that means is that for all of humanity, if we accept and acknowledge that Jesus is God, in his death he took on our sin, and he died to that because all of humanity deserves death, because out of our sinful nature, out of who we are as individuals that sin, whether by mistake or not and intentionally, we all deserve death. And so, seeing that, then Jesus, being divine and being God, he did it all for us. He took on what all humanity should have taken on for themselves, that we all deserve death. We all deserve to really go to hell. As scary and as frightening as that may sound, that is the reality of the Christian faith. And that's something that is very offensive to the rest of the world that disbelieve in this truth. All right, and so now we need to talk about Jesus's the importance of Jesus being fully human, and why he can't be, again, this half God, half human, this demigod, a human that becomes a God. Okay, before we dive in, I just want to say again, if you have any questions, I'll be here afterwards. Feel free to talk to me, ask questions, or any of your church leaders here. I'm sure they would love to answer your questions. The other thing is this, that I want to let you know. There are certain things that I'll just say, like, I don't know all the answers. Nor does any Christian can actually give you an answer. Because at the end of the day, this is a faith. So it requires you and I, or anyone for that matter, to actually take a step in believing this truth. There's a lot of everything that in the Christian faith can be explained, but the certain aspects and doctrines that we have are mysteries in exactly how it all works out. At the end of the day, we can't fully explain it. What we base everything on is what the scriptures have revealed. And so, like, for one thing that I already mentioned earlier is the Trinity. God is one, but yet three. It is still, like, we can best explain that God is in three persons, but yet one, but yet can't fully articulate always and well how that really works. And so we put that into the category of that is a mystery of God. And same with Jesus being fully man, fully God. If you have questions later on where you're saying, okay, so did God use his humanity to do this? Or did God use his divinity to do that? At the end of the day, I don't know. To a certain extent, I can say maybe this aspect fulfills this or that aspect fulfills that. I can't guarantee it. And so in the Christian faith, really, this is why it's a faith. Why it requires us to act on the faith, to believe and trust what God has said is true. Now through this, although it sounds very uncertain then, many people can still testify to the goodness of God, can testify that God does save and has this personal relationship with him. And so I, for one, believe in Jesus and can profess that yes, this is true, and I believe that because, and also historically, the Bible is accurate. And there is no error in it. Because based off of even the human standard of looking at the historical reliability of other ancient words, the Bible actually holds way more accurate, or holds out to be way more factual based on the evidence, the archaeological evidence that we have compared to any other ancient scriptures out there. And so it gives you, it leads people hopefully towards faith, towards at least having the ability to say, hey, my best guess, my best really hypothesis, if you're a science person, is that Jesus is who he says he is, and he is true. So I just wanted to let you know that, and if you're struggling with this, talk to me afterwards. We can walk through it, and it may require you to wrestle with this faith. So let's pray before we jump further in. God, I ask that you reveal yourself, Lord. Reveal yourself through your word. Reveal yourself to all of us. So Lord, for us that sometimes may doubt you or struggle in knowing who you are, Holy Spirit, speak to us, counsel us. Those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that their hearts are soft, that we all here are willing to listen, willing to hear you out, willing to be transformed by you, Lord. So we pray in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so last week, it's the same passage that we went through, John chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to verse 18. We're not going to go through it verse by verse like last week, but what I'm going to focus on is really two specific verses, okay? One is verse 14, and the other, like last week, that I referenced a lot was in verse 18. In verse 18, so I'm going to say this, I'm going to read it out again. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And so what I said last week, and it is true this week as well, is that to know who God is, and the best way to really know him, because this is what this verse says, is that you get to know his Son, because his Son is God, and the Son will reveal who God is to you. So verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Last week we talked about this, the Word meaning Logos, or it is the Word of God that created. So Jesus was there at the beginning. Jesus was there at the beginning, and now in verse 14 we read and hear that this Word, and this, which is Jesus comes in the flesh. So another word for that is, this is God incarnate. Okay, this is God incarnate. Incarnate means to be in flesh. Okay, and so Jesus is now fully human. Now, some of the translations, especially the older translation, like the King James Version, or some of the other one, like NASB, they may translate here in verse 14, and specifically the words that says, who came from the Father, who came, okay? Some translation will use the word begotten, okay? So if you have been a part of church before, and you've been long enough, you may have heard of this very popular verse in John chapter 3, verse 16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Or others may have heard of is that, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Okay, so this word begotten. This word begotten can be a huge stumbling block to a lot of individuals. Because when you hear the word begotten, which is beget, the assumption is, which is true, the definition would mean that, okay, something was made then, right? Something was created or made. If this was begotten, then it was made by something. However, the traditional church in our faith acknowledges this issue, okay? Because of the translation and the way that you're able to explain it, a bunch of churches, this is church history then, came together and said, whoa, we have an issue here. We have an issue here because it says Jesus is begotten. So does that mean Jesus was created? So does that mean Jesus is then not, was not divine? And so as last week we looked at it, Jesus is divine. He is God. He was not created because he was there at the beginning. That's why I wanted to make sure the first few verses was read out again in order for us to hear the very fact that Jesus was not made. Okay? And so what happened in church history, you can Google this and you can find it out for yourself. I'm going to read it out to you. It's something called the Nicene Creed. And this was early on in Christian history when churches gathered together, all these leaders gathered together and said, hey, we need to figure out our faith. We need to make sure we know our faith and we need to make sure we're teaching the correct things. And what this Nicene Creed did, a creed meaning a statement of faith, what it did back then is that it was to combat and it was to argue against this false belief that Jesus is not God. And so now, to this day, there are certain cults or other religions that believe in Jesus, but they too will say that, oh, Jesus was a human being that became God. And if you're in a traditional church, a traditional evangelical Christian faith, we would say, well, you don't belong under the umbrella of Christianity because we fully believe that Jesus is God. And so this Nicene Creed is what is the defense that the old historical church came up with. It says this, and I want to make sure I read this out to you, that way you are aware. Okay, it's I'm just going to read the parts about God, and then about Jesus. And then you can Google yourself and read the rest where it talks about the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit being God as well. All right? So this is what it says. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, he became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And this creed continues on further, but I'm going to stop there. And the reason why I wanted to read that out to you is the very fact that the early church acknowledged this as well, right? Where if people are now thinking and believing, if Jesus is then not fully God, and he's just a human being, we need to make this, correct this. And so that's why, and I want to highlight this, if anyone ever comes across, oh, what's this word, begotten, or who came? And so this is why NIV and other translation will use this translation instead, or these words, he says, who came from the Father, because it's less confusing, where it acknowledges that Jesus is not made, okay? And what begotten simply means for believers back then and to this day is the very fact that God, his humanity was created, right? Because God came into then the flesh. He became incarnate. However, Jesus was there from the get-go. And what's fascinating and amazing and necessary then, we also see that Jesus actually stayed human after death. So if you are familiar with the Christian faith, after Jesus rose again, he showed himself to his disciples. And disciples, especially an individual named Thomas, if you've heard of the story, all of church always label him as the doubtful Thomas, although to me I feel like that'd be all of us, is that, hey, how do I know that you're really true or you're real, Jesus? Let me be able to put my hand on your wounds and see that you are actually physical. And so that's what Thomas actually did. And Thomas was able to actually see the wounds on Jesus' hand after his crucifixion. They were also able to see that Jesus ate with his disciples. And there's an importance that Jesus ate. Because back then, the belief and thought is that if people became ghosts, or there was such thing as spirits and ghosts, you didn't need to eat. And the demonstration that Jesus ate fish and dined with the disciples demonstrate that he is human. He did come back to life. Right? And so, jumping back to our verse and focusing on the very fact that then Jesus is human, is fully human. And here, as I mentioned, how Jesus came from the Father, what is also fascinating here is that in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 25, and this is another doctrine that we uphold and believe, is this, is that there is the virgin birth, that Jesus came from a virgin birth. And this is important towards an understanding of this union of Jesus, where he is fully God and fully human, is the very fact that Mary, being a human, was able to conceive Jesus. And what's significant and fascinating here is the fact that in chapter 1 of verse 25 in Matthew, it says this, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And so this detail is very significant in the Christian faith. It's the very fact that Mary needed to be a virgin. And for Matthew to record that and acknowledge the very fact that Joseph, being the father, being the husband of Mary, they didn't have sex, is significant. Because here, what this tells us then is that Jesus is fully divine because he came from the Holy Spirit, but fully human because it was Mary that birthed him. And it's significant because it goes back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve has eaten the fruit that they were told not to from and the Lord God then curses the serpent and also curses the woman and the and Adam. Adam and Eve. This is what was said. And this is verse 15 in chapter 3 of Genesis. It says, "And I will," and this is God speaking to the serpent. He says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And this is significant because this is prophetic in the very fact that how the serpent's head is now will be struck is by what Jesus does on the cross. It is through Jesus' conquering of sin and death that fulfills this curse, fulfills what was prophesied of what will be done, because sin entered the world. And so here, what's also fantastic and great in what we see through the virgin birth is that Jesus was born without sin. Unlike all of us human beings, the rest of us, where there is a doctrine in which we believe that there is original sin. And if you're unfamiliar with what original sin is, it goes right back to Adam and Eve in the very fact that because they sinned, we now, of all of humanity, inherit the sinful nature of Adam and Eve. And so every person that is born has sin in them already. And so that's why there's significance here in where there needs to be a virgin birth, because Jesus can't be just created from two human beings. It was Holy Spirit and from Mary. And this also fulfills what Adam couldn't and didn't, and what all of humanity didn't. And it is this this belief that we have, in which we call Jesus as the second Adam. Jesus being the last Adam. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. You can look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 to 49. And so I'm going to read that out to us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 to 49. This is what it says. "So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born the image of, just as we have bore the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man." So what does these verses mean then? Well, the second Adam points towards Jesus, and we call Jesus the second Adam. Because Adam in the Hebrew language actually means, or what it sounds like, it's Adam. And Adam actually means man. And so when you read Genesis, you can technically read Adam as just a man. But, you know, we acknowledge Adam being the first, and so we call him Adam. Okay? And so Adam, was the first man that was made. However, he failed. He had failed and brought sin into this world because of his disobedience to God. Whereas now Jesus is credited as a second man, as a second Adam, He comes and fulfills what the first Adam should have. Living a perfect sinless life. Living a life of obedience. And that's what all humanity should be living out of, is a relationship with God, in a perfect union with God, where we are sinless. However, again, because of the fall, because of what the first Adam did, all of humanity is doomed. And so that's why it's so significant that Jesus is fully man. Because out of his humanity, out of Jesus' humanity, he perfected and he lived out an obedient life in which we could never have done. And out of his perfect life, it demonstrates for us he sets the example of what we are to do in response to knowing God has saved us. And so another passage I want to for us to look at today and to read, it is from Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. This is what it says. It says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity," being Jesus, he too shared in their humanity, "so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it was not not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." And this is what is being said of Jesus. Jesus needs to be fully human. And out of this passage in Hebrews, it points towards and helps us to see the very fact that you can't say God doesn't know you or I. You can't say God hasn't experienced what you or I have experienced in terms of temptations. Just like a child would, or any of us, when we were younger, we would sometimes whine, or we would tell others that, "You don't know me," right? If we did something, and you're trying to justify yourself, in where the other individual has not experienced what we have experienced. But here, in the significance of Jesus being fully man, it actually tells us that God does know you. God does know us. Jesus has experienced temptation. And if anything, he's conquered temptation as well. Because if you are familiar with it, he was led out to the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. And he succeeded. Jesus has no sin. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says this, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. This is our God." This is Jesus. He is fully man. And he is the one who we can put our hope and trust in. He sets the example, and he demonstrates how we as humans are to live in obedience to God the Father. Throughout all of the history of the Bible, as you read from cover to cover, you can see the relationships that people had with God. In the very early on in the relationship, Adam and Eve broke it. As you go along with Abraham having a covenant with God, you can also see Abraham's sinfulness in how him and his wife Sarah distrust God, and so he brought forth a son of his named Ishmael instead of Isaac, which came later on. And it's through these relationships that people constantly demonstrated to us and for us in this covenant that they made with God, where all of the whole nation of Israel says that, hey, God Almighty, you are our God, we are your people, and so therefore we are going to make this covenant, which means a contract, which means this relationship where it is exactly like a marriage, where we are married to you, God, we're your people, we're not going to be faithful to you, but yet you see their failures throughout and how they disbelieved in God or disobeyed, ran after other idols, wanted things of their own. And it's out of this is why we need Jesus. This is why it's so significant that Jesus was fully man and he lived out perfection. The covenants that were made and established by God and his people back in Exodus and was fulfilled by Jesus. That was the old covenant. And this is how Jesus breaks it and establishes then a new covenant, which is in him. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, it says this. It says, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. What this verse actually does is it quotes Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. It quotes it because it says that this covenant was established with the Israelites, but he's going to make a new covenant one day. And that new covenant was made by Jesus. Because then how it's fulfilled is, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. That's what Jesus does. Where the first set of covenants, and if you are familiar with the Exodus or the Mosaic laws, these rules were written on tablets. They were physical, demonstrated the law of God and how they are to fulfill and be in relationship with him and to obey that. These tablets, these law that were written, were on stone. But instead now, it's written on hearts. This means that Jesus, in accepting him, the Holy Spirit seals our salvation. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. And so, Jesus being fully human leads us to conclude in knowing that, again, God does it all. It is by grace through faith. That it is Jesus being fully man, fully God. He lived this life of obedience that all of humanity should have. And because of our sinfulness, we are now a part of God. We do not belong with him. But it is because of Jesus' death and resurrection that he brought us back together in this faith that we can have, in professing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. That it allows us to then look on Jesus and his words now through the Bible and where it reveals who Jesus is. We can then imitate Jesus, because that's what he asks us to do. To be like Christ. Well, one of my favorite Bible verses comes from Philippians, and Paul writes this. He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so for all those of us in here that says, hey, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, we do actually have a responsibility. There is a response towards the grace that we've received. is that when you acknowledge and realize that, hey, there's nothing I can do to ever save myself or to be perfect, because no matter what, how hard I try, at some point I will make a mistake, at some point I will sin, at some point even go so far when Jesus talks about sinning, you can sin with your thoughts and your mind. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so that's where we need Jesus, and we need his perfection, and he trades that off to us. It is because of Jesus being the Lamb of God. And that's a whole other sermon for another day. But in short, and how this fulfills also in his humanity is the fact that Jesus laid down his life for us. The old covenant requires sacrifices constantly, where you had to take a calf, you had to take different animals, slaughter them, and it's a very graphic, physical example of what all should deserve is death. But instead, Jesus says, you don't need this old system anymore where you need to make constant sacrifice, because the sacrifice of myself is once and for all. I will be that lamb instead that's slain. My blood poured out for you. And so this is the importance of Jesus being fully human. It tells us once again that God loves us. It leads us to marvel and worship him. It leads us to worship Jesus and thank him and praise him. And hopefully it compels you then to desire to imitate him, to being his light, because he is the true light. And that all of us who profess that we are Christians can then be a reflection of his light in this dark world. In John 1:18, it says again, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So to know God is to know Jesus. And Jesus, being fully man, fully God, tells us that he actually knows us before we even know him. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your obedience to the Father. Thank you for living out a life of perfection, the life that we fail to live. Thank you for demonstrating the relationship that we can have with the Father as well. And so, Jesus, help us. Wherever we are in relationship to you right now, Lord, I plea and pray for us that we can grow closer to you, that we can know you like you know us. I pray that Lord, you reveal yourself to us. Jesus, we need you because we're a sinner. And so, Lord, forgive us. Thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for setting us free because of what you've done on the cross, Jesus. Thank you for the freedom that you give us. And so, Holy Spirit, sanctify us through and through. Help us to live out a life of obedience now to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.